By the time today's guest was a young man, he had become well-versed and or certified in many of the world's healing traditions. His Mexican heritage offered him opportunities to absorb quite a bit about what is little known regarding the Mayan calendar. And his experiences in channeling make J.C. Cannon a well-versed healer, recognizing the importance of an essence as opposed to the physical package. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. JC, I thought we'd get started talking about the Mayan calendar. I know you are down from that area, and it's obviously an oracle and about prophetic happenings regarding the future, but it ties into us in a way that most people have totally skipped over.
That's right. Well, thank you to begin with, Robin, for inviting me to Tributaries. It's great to be here in Boulder. Once again, my second home. And I am returning. Me and my family are returning back to the Yucatan for the non-event that we'll be having in 2012. It started and it's continuing after. I am not Mayan. I don't know Mayan lingo. Yeah, I don't get into the graphs or the glyphs or anything like that. But I do know from secondhand, from very good friends, that a lot of people have been looking to the Mayan calendar as some sort of an oracle, as some sort of a time cycle that for the most part is coming to an end and to a beginning, but they're looking more towards the skies and the planetary cycles. And then secondarily, they're looking at the human effect on how that will impact us. But the missing component is that the Mayan calendar is actually a diagram or a schematic for the human body. I remember I was In one of the conferences, it was an older Whole Life Times exhibition that we had on our quantic crystals. And a retired anesthesiologist came up to me from South Dakota. And he said, again, because the medicines and the crystals come from the Mayan world, he said, well, do you know that in the Mayan calendar, there's a lot of medicine? He said that a lot of those mathematics you can see in human biochemistry. So that was interesting to me. I said, yeah, it is, because only in our kind of closed-end quantic medicine, we only see that portion. But when we get into diet, when we get into foods and how they impact the body and the hologram and the electric structures of the body, that those glyphs and the time cycles have everything to do with what the calendar is, or the beginning and the end, and the inherent structures that are within the body. So that's, I think, where we're going to with as far as the diet goes. When I saw raw foods and some of the work that some of the doctors were doing on the electric portion of the human being, I thought it was very interesting on how the time cycles of the sun, the moon, and the planet had everything to do with that Mayan calendar and where we're going in the transformation of the human body, its basic structure, which is different than 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 years ago. And so if we have that mapping, which is in the Mayan calendar, it's still being researched. Probably after 2012, 2013, somebody will catch on that it's an outer mapping of the galaxy. It is an inner mapping of ours. But I think a new lingo is coming up, and that's what the quantic medicine is about.
The lingo is so important. I feel like that's one of the things that is holding us back.
Right.
In our progression. Maybe not individually, but as a world community, I would say so. And speaking of linguistics, you use the word quantic. Could you define that as different than quantum?
Yeah, one of the things that we were researching, I get into all kinds of weird things. And one of the latest things was international banking and creating your own country. And that's because of the community factor. Yeah, again, tying back into the Mayans and ancient cultures. We found out that language is highly manipulated, or was manipulated at one time by a certain religious group way back when. And what it did is it mirrored 180 degrees another culture and another language, which is Etruscan. And we found out that both Spanish and English are invented languages that are purposely folded. They're placed in a manner which is our inherent power is taken away from us just through the vibrations of spoken language, which could mean one thing, and we're trying to say another thing, and we really don't have any more tools. So one of those is some of these concepts that we saw in medicine. I remember when it was integrated medicine or integral medicine, and then that whole thing was put out there, and you know, you really can't define anything because it's so broad. And the same thing happens with the word quantum. Remember when Deepak Chopra came up with the quantum healing and all of that, and we were just getting into that whole quantum physics area, and it really was just it's like naming a planet or naming a realm. It's just a big area of knowledge that's really not so defined. It doesn't talk about the nuances of that world. And so what quantic does, just as the word specific does, it specifies exact particles and exact electrics on a very minute level, on a dimensional level. So that's why it's quantic. And actually, we've gone up to the word quanta. We've changed quantic to quanta.
Using the quanta, then, let's go to the electrics of the body. Most of us know that we are electrical beings before we are chemical beings. And so can you relate a little bit about the electrics of the body before we move into the nutrition and the timing of the sun and moon and all the cycles with regards to our nutrition?
Sure. Some of the basic concepts are, without getting into too much of the detail, are that the body is electric, but the body is not only electric. And sometimes you see, as we're exploring different technologies and tools and going back into civilizations, we almost lopsidedly go into one concept and overdo it, like the concept of magnetics.
You've seen that, eh?
Yes, I've noticed that, studying different alternative medicines, in that, we'll learn about magnetics, and then we want to throw a bunch of magnets on and keep them on for the longest period of time. The same thing with electrics. You know, we have a whole array of tools, therapies that are overcharging the body. And even the magical therapies that have to do with lunar energy. We sort of overdo lunar energy. And what was shown to this group that was based in Mexico, it was a scientific group back in the 60s, is that the body, its configuration that was engineered a long, long time ago and off this planet, has three basic structures. It has an electric field, a magnetic field, and a gravitational field. So these three fields are contingent upon each other. And when one field is found with too much electrics, it overpowers the other two fields. And so that the body is always seeking this natural homeostasis, energetic homeostasis. So that's where food is, in particular, food is only one of those that handles the electrics of the body. And the moon handles the gravitational energy. And the sun handles part of the magnetics of the body, the sun and the planet. So each one of those three have to be handled in a clean. Well, how do you do that? We don't have a manual to be able to learn which one of these are coming to synchronization. And we've all seen the sun therapies, right? Whether you're getting it from Bach Flower Remedies, the radiant energies, or whether you're looking directly at the sun, what impact is that having on the other two spaces? So the gravitational field, which is one of my favorites, and this is what people like Nassim and some of the more progressive physicists are going over, the concept of the graviton. And this is this big equatorial zone that looks like a CD that surrounds us about at the waist. Well, that's an actual structure. It's a physical structure that I think Chinese medicine alludes to with the Daimai channel. That's right at the girdle. They call it the girdle channel. And it's not just stuck at the level of the skin, but it sort of protrudes out into our matrix. And that structure isn't just sitting there. What it does is it moves in a fourfold form with the moon. For each one of the four cycles, that structure, which is actually a sphere, moves forward, moves to the left, moves to the right.
And are you talking
backwards.
About the quarters of the moon?
The quarters of the moon, exactly. So what this does is that one field in particular, the gravitational field, sweeps the body. It's almost like this agitator in the washer, where it's cleaning quantum, what I call causal particles, the darker particles. It's a natural mechanism that some of those subtle fields, it cleanses the body itself with the lunar changes. And that's really key, because as it's doing that, it's sort of like having three spheres within each other, and they rub up against each other. So you can imagine if we have too much electrical energy, it could be too big or too small, or too much magnetic energy, and it could be too big or too small.
So I can see then if we moved on to the sun energy, the grosser part of that is vitamin D, I would imagine. I mean, that's why, you know, Western medicine with our chemistry say, oh, we need vitamin D, it comes from the sun, but there's something on a more subtle level.
Right,
there.
Exactly. And we've alluded to that. We try to see what's behind the veil. So that's a good example, right? We have the vitamin D2, D3 that are components that come from the sun, or byproducts that come from things that come from the sun. And those are the what we term in quantum medicine, that's the structure that's sitting at the third dimension, or at the third plane of the hologram of the human body. But there's two other ones. There's the first parameter of frequencies, which we call the first band of frequencies, and there's another second band of frequencies. And what sits at the first band of frequencies are chairs. They're holding spaces only. They're predetermined holding spaces. What's at the second band of frequency are predetermined programs. Until both of those work together, and at that, under a microscope, we can see at the third dimension the actual vitamin D. Okay, so what's sitting at the back? What's sitting at the back are these chains of predetermined energy that come from, let's say, the center of somewhere.
Right? I know
somebody's
somewhere.
Mind. And then, so these are just the chains, the tetrahedronal chains that are just sitting there. And then that program, sometimes there's problems with it in the human body where there's, you know, we can have things like cancer and alterations when both of those, the first and the second, are altered. But for all intents and purposes, we know that there's ultraviolet energy coming from the sun. And that energy is only one of seven energies that are within the human body. And it's called electropulsating energy. And that feeds specifically the seventh chakra, the endocrine system, that system that secretes the different types of oils and fluids. But
pineal?
That's just that. What's that?
Pineal.
Pineal, exactly. The pineal, which is what we see selected. Here we go. You go again trying to separate. Because of our education, we try to just say it's just the pineal or just the endocrine system.
Right. But obviously it is not. And I'm wondering if you could just give an example of what you see as a practitioner. Because besides being a teacher, I know you are a practitioner. And is there an obvious symptom you might see in someone that says, okay, it is this part of this quantum medicine or
sure.
that you're talking about?
That's a perfect, we'll just stay on the electroviolet because it is it's the top of the pyramid, whether it's manifested or subtle. And the body needs the smallest amount of it to be able to function and just to stimulate it. Now the time, but getting back to the Mayan calendar, the timing is from 6 to 8 in the morning, when that seventh generator, we call them generators, psychobiogenerators, or the chakra actually starts to spin. There's a spin state where that gyration, that clock begins its spin, gets to the highest point, and then it stops. And then the next one comes in. But the timing of the seventh chakra begins right at the moment that the sun hits the horizon.
I love that.
And when
I love
it does,
that time.
Now this is the time, that's exactly the highest moment. So think of a car as you come going into your garage or the place where it's stored, and you have to crank up that energy. You have to crank up the car, right? You don't want to crank it up the whole day, because then what happens?
Run down.
Right. So this is that crank up energy that those in that endocrine system, and even smaller parts of the endocrine system, in other words, the nucleus of the cell, all the cells have a smaller portion of the purple energy.
Sure.
But it's at that specific time that the body needs the energy. Now, the cleanest energy is obviously going to be the sun. And the foods that give you that energy, in other words, indirect energy that comes from the sun, which is really one of the better places for us to get that electric energy for our body, are the oleaginous or oily foods, nuts and seeds. which do include coffee, chocolate, and
coconut.
Some of the superfoods. These superfoods are the purple food. And this is why it attracted me to raw foods, because they were speaking our lingo without the lingo.
You just won a lot of fans. Chocolate for breakfast, everyone.
Exactly.
It's
from 6 to 8.
That's
seventh chakra. Now, what happens now? Staying on that point, remember that in the raw food community, they have this concept of cacao, that cacao is bad for you.
Oh, cacao.
Cacao, they call it, right?
Okay, never heard that.
And it's not that. This is, again, it's equilibrium. You do not take crank-up energy in the evening. And this is what, you know, us proponents of the hippie movements and the we want to have an experience at all hours of the day. So we take chocolate in the evening. And so what's that energy doing to it? As clean as it can be, it's still energy. You don't care if it's organic, if it's pure, if it's raw, whatever it is, it's still electropulsating energy. And what we saw in health is that there is a condition whereby too much electropulsating energy combined with certain causal implements, there's about four or five factors with it when they're combined with excess electropulsating energy, create what we call cancer. And in Mexico, what they were observing in a laboratory at the medical center is that when people were taking too much coffee or too much nuts and seeds and they had a history of cancer, it would tend to wake that cancer up. And it was this, because there's another area that has that energy, and that's gemstones. So the amethyst has the same exact very high electropulsating energy. And we found out by the people that, I guess back in the, I don't know, 80s, 90s, there was this big push for the violet flame. And so everybody was violet flaming, wearing a purple energy, purple clothes, without them knowing that the only time of the day that it's proper, according to the Mayan calendar, according to the extraterrestrial medicine, is from 6 to 8, when the body necessitates that energy. And then that's it. It's all it needs. So he found out that people who had a breast extirpated, taken out because of cancer, they would wear amethyst and again. And there's a person that was, their ideology was of the violet flame. How could you tell a person to not put on their amethyst or wear purple? You know, it's a hard decision to make, but we can. What we do is we take that group out temporarily, not forever, because it's saturated. And so that's kind of how food can be used as medicine. And when we see an overage of it or a deficiency of it, because there are deficiencies as well.
I was just going to ask you, what is a deficiency that you see over and over and over again?
Well, first, the biggest excesses, besides those, which is pretty extreme in the cancer cases, and there are other factors that come into being, the excesses are red electrothermic energy and electroneutral energy, which is red and white, carbohydrates, starches. Those two groups are the ones that predominate in the human body. We're always trying to create an equilibrium with those two energies. In other words, every one of the energies of the chakras have a complementary position.
Of course.
Blue goes with the red, green with the white, and yellow with the orange. They're complementary, and you could use foods and timing to be able to either complement those times or to be able to uptake those excesses. So you have... We have red energy, electrothermic energy, which comes mainly from proteins and bacteria, fermented foods. And those fermented foods can be complemented on specific days at specific times. In other words, that red time where the first chakra needs to be fed, you know, when you feel that need for protein, is exactly at 3 p.m. So you can treat anemias, which is a lack of red energy.
Of course.
With kombucha. Mushrooms, sprouts, exactly at 3. And that's just one of the time cycles. That's the 12-12 time cycle. We have broader time cycles, which are the weekly time cycles. And the day, in other words, that whole 24 cycle of the 7 days, we have an entire day that's one color or one electric, where the body can either utilize... Or if it's saturated that day with one, we could use its complementary energy and almost like fast, do a mono diet to take down that energy. And so we have It's funny because we have Friday is a red day, which is abstain from meat, and we've all heard where that comes from, right? Maybe it's one time a year, but it's almost like somebody just scratched the surface of the Mayan calendar.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, if it's good for one day, maybe somebody got the idea. So Friday is...
Well, that's it. You know, and it's the same thing with the way most people, it seems, take supplements. It's good to take a break no matter how good that supplement is for you.
Right.
It's not good 24/7, every day.
Well, here's a new one, too, that you can, even if you like your supplements, and there's all kinds of, obviously, these raw powders and
right.
better sources, all that, you can almost use those as food if that's what you're using for. So if you have a D2 or D3 supplement, well, why not take it on Sundays? Because Sunday is the sun day. It's the violet, purple, electropulsating day at 6 in the morning.
Right.
So you've just kicked in two cycles. And maybe you don't want to have coffee. Maybe you don't do coffee. Maybe you don't do chocolate. Or maybe you don't do that food, but you like the supplement. Why not take it at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Once a week. And what you've done is you haven't placed the body into a pattern of deficiency. I mean, it seems like you have to load it up with that because it feels good.
Right.
But on the other side, on the virtual side, it's probably a deficiency. So that's kind of like, if you have the basic, I mean, it's not really that hard. It's just a bunch of charts that are just bad. What's today? You know, today's Monday. Today's a white day. Kind of really feels like a no day. And then you got the green day, which is kinetic energy, and that's Tuesday. Tuesday kind of seems like a day that the week just started. It's really weird, but what you're seeing is that the sun, the moon, and the planet are making, they're within these color groups, these electrics. So let's say you're like me, a little overage. Maybe we do a little too many carbs. On that Monday, I'll have a green juice. To be able to offset, to be able to offset, and by the way, the white energy is for us, it's the heart,
mm-hmm.
The creators of the human body said it's the fourth generator that takes up, needs white carbohydrate energy, but it's complementary is because by the way, that's non-movement, it's insular energy, and it's complementary is kinetic energy, it's movement, so that's why those 2 days are together, the Monday and the Tuesday. So obviously, now you have a lot of athletes here that might actually be the opposite. They may have too much kinetic energy, too much green, too much movement, and they need carbs. They need the white. So you could use the white day to kind of fortify your bones, all the white structures, and kind of have that. And then specifically at 6 in the evening, when at the daytime, you can have that nice pasta meal or whatever you like.
Yes. Yeah. JC, I know you're so well-versed and experienced with recognizing various systems. You've studied many of the ancient, the Chinese, the Meridians, the Ayurvedic, the Mayan also, and you've gotten your information both traditionally by studying books and reading and teachers, and then you have been channeling for quite some time as well. How do you reconcile all of the different systems and take bits from each one? I'm sure you hold certain things that really resonate with you in order to see beyond the actual system itself and recognize, well, we can eat all of these foods according to the sun and the moon and the earth and all of this, but there's something else going on, keeping health or the creation going. So I'm just curious how, you know, what you've learned from studying all of these systems.
Well, you've just touched on the other side of being eclectic, right? Sometimes it's too much information. Sometimes it's contrary information. And it doesn't always complement each other. Some do really well. They just dovetail on the next and the next, and right? But then when you get into a system that's not of this earth at all, and the beings it brought to it, which is completely, well, alien to our system, you have to sort of see what is working and what's still working and what may be not pertinent to this time. And that's where the communication, the subtle communications come in. For instance, I think you probably saw in some of my write-ups that I've been a student of the Master Hilarion for the longest time. His ashram is in Shambhala, in the temple of the Emerald Temple. And there's a whole series of contacts that go through there. But the most important thing is that he's been able to have me see and put into perspective planetary medicines, cultural medicines that were valid at one time, that are still beautiful and could still use those things now today, and put those into perspective on where we're going and how the body has changed.
If you could share how the body's changing. Obviously, we all have the same organs as our ancestors did, but what do you see as that shift? How would you describe that?
Well, we do. The changing of the body is, it's a little complicated because you've heard that we have a from the galactic center, it has a stepping down of energies. And because of the time cycle that we're going through, there's a time compression. Now, time is, sometimes people think of time as just this linear conduit going through. It's actually two. We have two conduits, kind of like a double helix twisting on each other, and it goes through these cones of light that lie between dimensions. And both all of the physical star structures go through it, and so do our physical bodies. So it's a little complicated now, and you really have to be intuitive yourself to see what's right for you at the moment.
That was going to be my next question, actually. Can people rely pretty much, because every once in a while you feel like, oh, I just have to have spaghetti right now, or I just have to eat a steak, or I just have to go raw food for a month or something. And would you say people are pretty safe if they go with their intuition?
I would say that would be the best thing to do now. And this is what we were directed a while ago, that the physicians in Mexico, we had to find another career very soon, because where we're going is that you need to be your own physician.
Bravo.
And take responsibility, and this goes into other community aspects. But we really need to know how to read our own body and get out of that position of trying to relegate that to someone else.
And I think in closing, it's safe to say that health will not be an issue in the future.
That's right.
We're heading
in
that direction as well.
It'll just be a very small portion of maintenance, and then we can get on to being co-creators with the divine.
Yeah. And JC, you teach, give us a brief rundown of what is occupying your time in this world, and then we'll give out your website for people to contact you.
Okay. Well, I do personal guidance, consultations, whether they be naturopathic, homeopathic, radionic medicine, and quantic medicine. And I do that internationally. I take samples through FedEx and DHL and these different venues to get a sample, and then if I come up with the diagnostics and the recommendations. So I do that internationally. You can get a hold of me through my websites and my email. My email is akhu@ymail.com. And that's on that consultation, which is slowly coming to a dwindle as I give the courses. These courses that I give out are on quantum medicine, on galactic and communicative and physical, non-physical medicine, and these concepts of ours. So these are just philosophical conferences. And with that is where the co-creative state comes in, and this is why we're creating our own communities through the regular channels, and that means creating state governments.
I like where we're going, folks. J.C. Cannon can be reached at, and I'll spell this out for you, azgarta.com, asgarta.com. And for any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and subscribe to our blog, you can do it. It's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.